Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the world according to Velvet. Oh yeah, that's me. This is Velvet. We're reporting live from planet Earth, right in the conjunct the center of the galaxy here in Whitefish, Montana, and we have theoretical astrologer Robert Fitzgerald as the guest, and we're going to continue our conversation on theoretical astrology. Today we're going to talk about the hero's journey, and at least what he told me last week, we're going to see how that relates to astrological gender roles. Anyway, Robert, where do you want to begin?
Okay. Well, going back to last week and the week before, we're going to just jump right into the template for the hero's journey, which is encoded in the zodiac the same way that the structure that it encodes for the structure of religion. The two actually work hand in hand. In the Age of Aries, the path of the hero was a spiritual path. Hercules, Samson, any of the ancient ideas of the warrior hero dealt a lot with the path of or the hero's journey, the path of the hero. That changed with the Age of Pisces when he got into the higher expressions of religion, the great religions, the religions of transcendence, Pisces transcendence, the religions based on Pisces, Virgo, Platonic asexuality and chastity and purity, things like that. But anyway, for us, it's important to understand this template. So if we go back to the circle that we talked about last time, with Taurus on the ascendant and ruling the first house, we have that the planetary axis that runs down the center of the zodiac from top to bottom, dealing with the five original planets and the two luminaries, the seven original ruling planets of the zodiac, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, Mercury, and Sun and Moon. So, let's put it this way. Within the last couple of hundred years, we discovered three more planets in our solar system. And astrologers have been trying to figure out how to put those into the zodiac in a way that makes sense. So, they have Pluto ruling Scorpio, Uranus ruling Aquarius, and Neptune ruling Pisces. It starts to take away from the beauty of the balance of the zodiac, the imagery involved in a way. And I like the image that was presented by an astrologer, June Wakefield, in her book Cosmic Astrology. The outer three planets are higher rulers, or I would call them overlords, to four signs each and the planets that rule them. So in this sense, then, Uranus rules the vertical axis coming down the center of the zodiac. It rules the two signs at the top, Aquarius and Capricorn, and it's the overlord to the planet Saturn that rules those two signs. It also is the overlord to the Sun and Moon at the very bottom of that axis, and the signs that they rule, Cancer and Leo. Now, across this, on the horizontal axis, we have Pluto. Pluto then, in this sense, in this situation, is the overlord to Venus and Mars and the four signs that are ruled by those planets. So Pluto is the overlord to the Venus-ruled signs of Taurus and Libra, and the Mars-ruled signs of Aries and Scorpio. This is along the horizontal axis. These two axes, the Uranus vertical axis and the Pluto horizontal axis, give us the sacred image of the cross. It's the tree upon which sacred sacrificial savior gods are hung upon, things like that. It's the cross. It's the cross we bear in our own lives. Now, between these two axes, in this cross, you have Neptune as the overlord to all four mutable signs and the planets that rule them, Jupiter and Mercury. So Mercury rules Virgo and Gemini at the bottom, and Jupiter rules Pisces and Sagittarius at the top, and Neptune is the overlord to them. This gives us a cross, an X cross type of image that separates it, that acts as separation between the creative elements of Uranus and the dark, destructive and regenerative elements of Pluto. In this is a different way of looking at the image of the yin and yang circle. Light and dark balance each other out. They, you know, the light comes up, but only so far, and then the dark comes up in the circle of the circle of cyclical life. Okay, this said, now creation follows the path of descent down the central axis. We've talked about this the last time. And it's interesting that Uranus is the sky god, as the father god, even beyond Saturn. This is the patriarchal axis of the god of creation. Creation descends from Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, to Venus, to Mercury, and down into actual manifestation at the level of the moon on the left and the sun on the right. This sense of creation brought about, gave to us first woman and first man, moon Cancer and sun Leo, Eve and Adam, the moon goddess Artemis and the sun god Apollo in Greek mythology. This is the original place of the cosmic twins, not just Gemini, but here at Cancer Leo. And it's probably from this position, ancient Egyptian tradition of the pharaoh marrying his sister, or pharaoh having to align with his sister mother in order to gain the authority of rulership. So Cancer's the sister, Leo's the brother. And those types of things. So at this level, we have humanity. Now, the path of the hero is, in a ascent back up this axis, getting back up to heaven. And once you get to heaven, then in the hero mythology, you gain all sorts of boons, and you can bring them back to humanity for the betterment of humanity. Now, on the other hand, the path of the hero also requires a descent into darkness. The ascent up the axis and a descent into the darkness are brought together when we understand that the crossing axis of Pluto acts as that dark reservoir of death, regeneration, power, and emotional feelings that are not very logical or that you can't understand in many ways. So what happens on this hero's path, Leo takes the part of the hero. Cancer takes the part of the feminine guide, the heroine. The hero, when he makes the decision to go and find his fortune or to seek out something better, the meaning of life, or the grail, he ends up in hero mythology by meeting the goddess. She then gives him something that implies protection, that is a weapon. She gives him the mirror so that he can mirror the Gorgon's face back onto the Gorgon so that he is saved. Something like that, along those lines. Okay. The personification of this feminine can be seen as the goddess, but is also, we see it in our relationships every single day. The women in our lives are this Cancer goddess manifestation. The hero cannot even hope to succeed in his journey without the feminine by his side. So the Leo warrior element, striding forth with spirit and omniscience and omnipotence, is given power by the moon Cancer feminine. Cancer, she nurtures, she takes care of him when he's wounded and brings him back to health. She suckles him at her breast with sacred power food, pushes him forward. Her emotional depth actually infuses his spirit, and the two of them together set off on this journey. So what they do then is, from the signs Gemini on the left and Virgo on the right, they arm themselves with Gemini words of power, incantations, magical recitations, all of that kind of stuff, which is like the Gemini idea of, you know, of language, the power of language, the power of sacred words. Also, you can invoke various gods and goddesses in Gemini. On the right, in Virgo, you take with you a sense of purity and virginity, but it's not sexual virginity. It's virginity. It's the purity and chastity of heart. Okay? In this purity of heart, if you have, you get back to your base level of who you are in terms of being a god or a goddess incarnate, without ego, without with humility, without ego, like I said, without selfish desires. You're going into this journey selflessly, and your heroine is leading you there. So from this position, then you head into the cross or the river, the crossing river, the river Styx, the passage to the underworld, which is the Plutonian cross. And in that area, then you have to deal with Taurus, money, desire for refinement and the good things of life, the physical aspects of life. You have to deal with the nature of Libra relationships. Libra rules relationships and marriage, but it also rules open enemies. And the two are just kind of like two sides of a coin. How you approach it can either mean that the person next to you is an enemy and you're fighting, or you're learning how to really balance yourself and creating like a dynamic marriage. But it has to do with, in patriarchal religion, it has to do with not being associated with women a lot. You know, that's where that part of, just a small part of that whole thing of like, no, you know, we're going to go and be in our own ashrams and away from women, because it's a danger. It's a Libra danger in this Plutonian axis. Over at Aries, when you get up to the Mars level, Aries, ego, war, independence, I'm going to do things my own damn way, that kind of stuff, is something that has to be overcome as well. And then on the other side, then you have Scorpio. And here's where the culmination comes. Scorpio, darkness, depth. Scorpio is the personification of the underworld. It's power. It's manipulation, manipulating other people and their resources for your own ends, things like that. It's suffering. It's death, but ultimately also it's resurrection, death and rebirth. The image of Scorpio itself is the enclosed and highly fearful scorpion with its exoskeleton. Then you have the serpent filled with Scorpio types of wisdom and understanding of the nature of reality itself. And it carries with it the ability to regenerate. It sloughs off its skin and comes out as a new snake each time, a new serpent. And then finally, if you succeed in this, you become the eagle, the highest image of Scorpio. And the eagle is a bird that carries the image of it, that like Garuda, you can fly all the way to heaven. Now, in this journey where you're dealing with all of these very, very traditional areas of egoic and traffic, Taurus, Libra, Aries, and Scorpio, if you've learned how to master them, then Scorpio rebirth, you are reborn, like a reborn, reborn Christian, you're reborn at a higher level, and then you're able to like embrace the higher expression of love in Pisces, devotion, and the ability to fly beyond the horizon in Sagittarius. You go to the highest heaven of Aquarius, total knowledge, immortality, all the blessings that Aquarius gives you, and the Capricorn structure of creating something totally new for yourself on a higher, much more heavenly level. Most of us don't do that all the time. We spend thousands of lifetimes cycling through this. We get to Scorpio, and we die. But we are reborn, and what we do is that we are reborn back to our basic Leo, Cancer, masculine and feminine archetypes. And then we grow up and we start the process again. Each and every one of us is living a heroic life, either in big, broad brushstrokes or in very timid, little pointillistic dots. It doesn't matter. Because every single one of us will have lifetimes of fast and glorious achievements or growth. And every single one of us will have behind us periods of timidity or rest or whatever it is. Quite often, we will come back also, if you're, say, like male, you may come back into a Cancer moon personific aspect. So you will be born in a woman's body to learn how to connect with the whole idea of understanding the process and of guidance and nurturing. If you're basically a feminine energy, you might also choose lifetimes where you come back to be the male, the Leo hero, to do things. You know, I want to do this. I don't want to just help anymore. I want to experience how this happens. And over thousands of lifetimes, we learn both sides as well as the nature of who we are. Now, in this process, it becomes extremely important to understand and honor the value of the feminine. The feminine, the moon, in Cancer, has a very direct connection with Venus at the very center of the zodiac. And through Venus at the center of the zodiac has a very direct connection also then with the entire zodiac as the womb of the mother goddess, the entirety of the feminine aspect of creation. Pluto, at one time, was a goddess along the line of Kali or Kalima, before the Greeks took her over and made her into a masculine god as god of the underworld. So what we have on this Plutonian axis is the expression, the discovery of, the mastery of what we'd call love, which is the essence of all of creation. Taurus, Libra, Aries, Scorpio, they all deal with love in various ways. Now, we like to think of love, and the patriarchal ideal of love is light and airy and beautiful and sweet and kind and innocent and also pre-sexual. Okay, oh yeah, moms and daughters, and we're out having you on this Easter egg hunt. Oh, life is so sweet. But love is also intense. It's highly sexual in so many different ways. It's not just monogamistic sexual. It can be pluralistic. It can be so many different things. Love is dark. It's needy. Jealousy arises out of love. Hatred arises out of the feeling that like you're not getting the love that you know you're supposed to have in some way. Okay, so it's like love is helping other people, but it's also revenge against. It's emotional and it's intense. And one of the things that is required in this process of growth for us is that we need to learn what all of this means and how to master it. Not how to be totally revengeful, but how to master the nature of it so that it doesn't bother us and so that we can bring it back into this greater field that we would call love that goes so much deeper and is so much wider than we would even call romantic love. There's a story about the Indian saint Ramakrishna in the 19th century in India. He was a follower of the Mother Goddess. And there came a point in his life where he tapped into this level of love so deeply that his body burned. It just literally burned. He took to rolling on the cold floor constantly to cool down. His biographer, and I think his name is Christopher Isherwood, who is he's a Western devotee, mentioned in his book that if Ramakrishna's physiology, if his nervous system was not spiritually refined, that love would have burned him to death. It would have just turned him into a cinder. The story of Hercules and his death, where he was given a robe that was soaked in poison. That poison was love. He burned to death as well. But through that burning, I don't remember the whole thing. But as he was being burned on the funeral pyre, because he had put on that robe given to him by his wife, who was like, and she was conned into giving it to him, but by a centaur. But in any event, he took this love into him, and it refined him so much that when he died, his nemesis, the mother goddess Hera, finally forgave him, brought him to heaven, and gave him to her daughter as her eternal husband, for him as his eternal wife, and a complete emotional bonding, masculine, feminine. It would not have happened without that burning love. But we get from these stories, we get the sense that like love is extremely complex and extremely deep. Women have a natural understanding of how potentially deep that is. Men don't. And in many ways, I think it probably scares men. So on the hero's journey, if a man is able to follow his wife or his girlfriend, his partner, the priestess that he is following, into the realm of this emotional inner depth of himself, he has the potential of opening his heart to such a degree that he then can create a new world around him, as opposed to transcending the lower realms and creating something brand new. That's the potential. In this, it requires an absolute respect for the feminine across the board, and even more so for his chosen partner. It requires deep love for his partner without question. A woman's brain is structured differently than a man's brain. More gray matter, the corpus callosum, which connects left and right hemisphere, is much thicker. There's more whole brain thinking going on in a woman's brain than in a man's brain. If a man can get past his Aries ego, which is like, again, that part of the Aries challenge, then he can become a victor, the higher expression of, say, Aries. But he cannot do it without the guidance of his woman, without the guidance of the feminine in this creative process. Leo and Cancer work together. Sun and moon work together. The sun shines during the day, and the moon shines at night and brings forth connections with the deep, dark mystery of eternity. Power resides in the dark, not in the light. So in this process, the vertical path of the hero promises enlightenment because it's the path of light. Delving into the Plutonian axis promises empowerment because it deals with love. And only through mastery of love then do you become fully empowered. The whole concept of manifestation, you can set your intentions say your affirmations, but they're just words. If you don't have emotional depth behind them, and the more you're in love with that process, what it is you want, or more precisely perhaps, I want money, but I want money for her. She's my partner in this. I want to manifest for her. Then you start, perhaps you start to amp up your ability to actually create. Empowerment and enlightenment come together, and then you become godlike. Both of you become godlike in that sense. So here's the first step we have in terms of gender roles. We find that our gender roles, again, as I've mentioned this before, and we're coming up to the last, say, 5 minutes here, but again, we'll talk a little bit about this. A man, to understand his archetypal astrological gender roles in Leo and the Sun becomes deeply important for him. Cultures have a tendency to add stereotype on top of archetype, so that we think that the path of the hero is being a badass dude, you know, on the mean streets of wherever you're living, even in Podunk, Iowa. It's on the battlefield. It's being a Navy SEAL type of person. It's being somebody who cannot show emotions, who is tough, somebody who can make the tough decisions. That's not being a hero at all. That's actually blocking the heroic process within you. Being a woman in Cancer Moon is very nurturing. It's the image of the mother, the great mother. But to think that it's limited to the house and home and to just her own kids is actually a limit on what that archetypally potentially means. You can, most women I know love motherhood. Not all of them, but at the same time, it's like those who are in business or doing that other stuff, they miss that sense of nurturing. And you can take that out in beyond that. We need to redefine what these archetypes mean. In our patriarchal culture, we have a set of what being a man is supposed to be and what a woman is supposed to be. And we're and the battle right now is that we're finding that like more and more women stand up and say, no, this isn't working for me. Maybe a woman will say, I'll stay at home, but you'd better respect me and my decision. And, we need to change the entire structure of this balance, especially if I'm going to be able to be here and support you, and you're going to be able to do what it is you're really here to do, and it's not as CEO of Bank of America. These are all stereotypes that we put over the top of them. And history will give us a sense of what those stereotypes are, and astrology will give us a sense of what the archetypes are. And then when we understand the archetypes, then we start a dialogue of like, well, how can I do that in my own life? As we're coming up on Aquarius, shoulds and shouldn'ts are being thrown out the window. It's just like things are going to be opening up in new and dynamic ways. A whole lot happier if we understand the basic archetypes and then make informed decisions as to how we want to approach that in our own lives. Well, that doesn't work for me. This works for me. And I can do it this way, knowing the archetypes, and that could be really exciting. So this is where we're going, and next time we'll get into actually what the archetypes are and how we can, and how they've been stereotyped and how we can redefine them possibly.
That was awesome, Robert. Thank you. I think that that's given me a lot to chew on in my brain and my heart, and I think we're building something, and I'm really grateful that you're sharing your medicine with us. And I think we're going to do this again next week.
Next week.
Same time, same bat time, same bat channel. Save that station. So join us next week as we continue this discussion and get deeper into the archetypes. And I think this whole idea of stereotypes kind of like distorts the archetype. That's a very fascinating concept, and I don't know when we'll get into that.
Yeah,
but
we'll,
okay, so I'm really fascinated with that. So as we say here on The World According to Velvet, this is Velvet reporting live from planet Earth. Over and out. Keep the shiny side up.